All right, so we're in our open discussion area now. We're going to discuss some different things. I think Brother Zelos brought a good scripture verse up about from Revelation about Jezebel. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to talk about the joy of seeing a saint set free and brought into fellowship with some other believers. The saint traveled all the way across the world, halfway across the world, and we're all rejoicing. It just happened today, and I just want to maybe go around with the brothers and kind of pick their brain about, I guess I just want to give God glory. That's really kind of my motivation in this. And I just want to say, I want to praise God for his faithfulness in the, he gives us the word and the spirit, and for the hope that we have in him. And we just talked about his mercies are new every morning, and the strength he gives us in the Holy Spirit. I've seen the strength that he's given this young saint, in this case, a young woman, to have strength to overcome her family and overcome being separated from other true saints, and how God is faithful. And when we're faithful, and when we draw near to God, James says, draw near to God, he draws near to us. And I always knew that God was going to do something to make this possible. And God is about redemption. And I know we're redeemed in Christ. That's the most important thing. And this saint surely was, no matter where she lived. But now to redeem her life, to be able to go and be with other saints. And I know she's going to grow from this. And I know these saints are going to grow. And I know us in the body are going to grow because she's closer connected. So I just wanted to go around. What's your thoughts about this? Hearing about a saint losing her life, Matthew 10, that's another thing, and giving up everything to go and serve God and be with other saints. What's your thought about it? I'm going to start with Brother Akuo. What does it mean to you? What are your thoughts?
I think it's awesome to see someone willing to crucify their flesh, their old man, their old place that they're from, everything they know for the body, for Christ. I think that's just, that's awesome to see. And the truth really does set you free. And I actually brought up a verse here. It's when the Lord was talking about take no thought. So therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you.
I love that verse.
Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I think we see the Bible come alive in situations.
I love
like
that.
This.
See, yeah. The Bible come alive.
Yeah, so it's just awesome to see that. And just all the trust in the Lord, all the trust in the faithful Father, which he is faithful. Yeah. And yeah, that's.
And I'll just add one thing, you kind of made me think of it. What a great witness.
Exactly.
And it's encouragement, yeah, to me to see a faithful saint, and I know it is to you, brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Purgos, what say you about a saint leaving everything? It doesn't matter how far they go, but in this case, halfway across the world, 9,000 miles, you'd have to go to China to be even further away. What's your thought about a saint doing that, and about the Father's work in this all? What say you?
It definitely shows the dedication of the saint and their trust in the Lord. It'll definitely help grow faith, because literally what you've known, you're putting it a great distance behind you, and it'd be very hard to go back. I was thinking of Hebrews 13:3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So I'm rejoicing that part of the body got set free.
Amen. Amen, brother. Great verse. Let me throw one in there. Makes me remember too. And I remember I always told this young saint, hold fast, have faith. God's going to set you free one day. I knew the Father would, and it happened. And I always think about what Paul said. He said, if you, where you're called, if you're a slave, be a slave. And then I love what he said, but if you can be free, set yourself free. I'm paraphrasing, but I think that's what he says. Set yourself free. I love that. And so that is our goal. And I always preach about the three freedoms: born again in Christ, being debt free, not be a slave to the lender, and then be free from the world systems, which is just basically not a job that doesn't cause you to sin, or being encumbered by the culture around you, but make sure you live separate from it. So that's the three freedoms that we all strive for. And so, yeah, I think about Paul saying, if you can be set free, set yourself free. And this saint has found that way. God's made the way, and the body got a chance to be part of it. Watch your journey. That was so awesome to see the journey, to see the plane going and the landing. It was awesome. Brother Zelos, I know you're right in the midst of it. What say you in your house about this whole situation?
Yeah, it's 1 Thess 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. It's just the thought of the saints of God. You can't help but love them and be loved of them. It's almost like you can't help but love the saints of God who are striving. And the absolute joy and rejoicing in seeing a saint go free kind of made me think today of, I wonder, with all the excitement and the joy, if there's that much excitement and joy in heaven when the angels and God looks down and there's somebody who's getting free of sin and who's getting freedom in Christ, freedom from sin and darkness, to walk in the light and to overcome. And I wonder if they're all sitting there and anticipating and holding their breath, and there's so many lessons in the journey.
Yeah.
And holding their breath and just can't wait until that saint just gets home.
Amen.
And Brother Akua shared a verse there, right? Like, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. And it's almost like the love and the joy that's there when you see a saint go free to serve Christ better.
Amen.
I mean, it doesn't matter where we are. They could all, you know, chain us up and lock us in a dungeon somewhere. We would still be free in Christ. But to have somebody free from men and from the bondage of men, not from the bondage of sin, but from the bondage of men, is also a great joy.
Amen. Amen. It is. Yeah, absolutely. And I always remember what our master said in John 13. This has kind of been like a real foundation verse for Sister Amin and I. By your love for each other, the world will know you're my people. Our love for each other. And so, as you just said, you can't, if you really are born of the Spirit, you can't help but love the true people of God. And when these things happen, it's just like an overflowing of, I don't know, I just have a great love for God, for what he does in his people. And then I have a love for the brethren that would step up and help someone. And I have a love for the saint that's willing to lose everything to, or give up everything to go be with people. So it's just like, it's like all about love. And isn't that what God's all about? I think that's just so awesome. And I do have a question. Ready? Is this love and unity a lot better than separation and division?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I'm thinking about our body and the redemptive story we have, that I love it. I love it. Don't ever be ashamed of it, brothers. The redemptive story we have, and people say, oh, you were together, but you got all broke apart. And we're like, yeah, we did, but we found our way back. We got redeemed by the blood of the Lamb individually, and he redeemed our body, and we're back, and we're stronger than ever. This is the story of our Savior. Don't ever shy away from that. This is the story of our Savior. He's all about redemption. It's what he came for. So we got a great story, and to bring another saint in closer, it's just awesome. I give God so much glory for it. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, amen. He gets all the glory.
Amen. He couldn't make it, could not make it possible without our Heavenly Father and our Savior and the Word. So we're going to move on now from that glorious moment. And it's just going to get better as we all go and draw close to each other. Brother Pergos, would you read for us Revelation 2, verse 20? This was a question brought up by Brother Zelos.
Revelation 2.
Put your discernment hats on, men. Put your deciphering hats on, as they say. Revelation 2:20.
Yep. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols.
Okay. Brother Zelos, want to fill us in? What was your specific question? You said you were listening to Revelation. What was your question about that? Could I answer that? Thank you.
How would we answer it if somebody took that and said, hey, see, if somebody's a prophetess, they could be a teacher. They shouldn't teach heresy, obviously, but a prophetess could be a teacher. How would you answer that?
What would you say to that, Brother Kuo? From that verse, does that promote a woman teacher?
Notwithstanding, I have a few things against it because it's both. I feel like the way he's phrasing it, he's phrasing it against teaching, like that she shouldn't have been.
Is there a word that shows you that? You're on the right track. Think about that. Brother okay. Purgos, what All say right. you? Think about that.
Okay.
Can I answer his question?
Answer whose question?
Or the one you just asked? Sure. Or do you want me to say something?
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because thou sufferest.
Suffer.
Another translation who says, who calls herself a prophetess. So it's usurping that because since she is seducing these people, she is a false prophet, and she is misleading.
Yep.
Paul also says elsewhere, you not suffer a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man.
Yep.
However, in Acts, Peter refers to Joel, in which both men and women will prophesy. And in 1 Corinthians 11, women are not supposed to, it says explicitly, to pray or prophesy with their head uncovered. So therefore, we can see that women do prophesy. They're strictly forbidden from teaching. And I would sort of say in this case, she's not a teacher or a prophetess because she's showing sin. And Paul also in another place says that evil glutton, slow bellies, false prophetess, and they're to be carefully rebuked so they're in sound doctrine.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, you're right. You're right on the right trail. That's where I was going. That word suffereth means to allow, to permit. All right. So they allowed this woman to teach. And what's our concept? We always let what? Scripture interpret scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we use other scriptures to help us understand. So I'm sure somebody could, Brother Zelos, go there and say, look, see, there was a woman teacher there. Jesus even talked about her. Well, we don't use eisegesis and pull one verse out or proof text and do that. We go look at what does the New Testament say about women teachers? It says no to women teachers. So either, let's deduce this, either Jesus is uninformed about no women teachers. That's not probable and even possible, him being God himself. Or Paul gave us the wrong order, and women certainly can't teach. No, that's not probable. Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 says he was given the commandments of God. So we have to rightly divide this and go, wait a minute, the rest of Scripture, 1 Timothy 2, Titus 1, tells us leaders and teachers can't be women. So what's Jesus saying here? And then you look at the verse in the context and you go, oh, he's mad at them. I have a few things against thee. Because you allowed a woman prophetess to teach and deceive people. Does that make sense, Brother Zelos?
Yep.
Yeah. And so that's, yeah, you'll get people that'll proof text it, but use scripture to interpret scripture and see that Jesus is telling the truth, as is Paul. And when you put all these scriptures together, we know women don't teach. Just because women prophesy doesn't mean they're teaching men. Prophesying, Sister Amen goes in the streets and she's prophesizing to other people. She's telling other women the truth of God, the word of God. That doesn't mean she's teaching men.
I also found it interesting. Like, I was just picking your brains because I kind of knew. I kind of would explain it the same way.
Yeah.
I just sometimes like asking because you got a bunch of different perspectives and it sharpens you. it's also, it says, and I think it's interesting, it's a kind of like a jab at her. She calls herself a prophetess.
Yep, exactly. She's a false.
She calls, she says, yeah. So, like, there were prophetesses. Like, even in Acts, it writes about, was it Philip who had four daughters in his house? We don't read that they were teachers out in the streets We don't read they were teachers or evangelists that much. They were kind of in his house. They still kept the order. I mean, they might have spoken the word of God and been a good example, but they weren't teachers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And also, I need to throw a note in here. You suffer that woman Jezebel. There's a lot of the NAR people that believe, like, in the spirit of Jezebel. Like, there's an actual demonic spirit named Jezebel. And I have a teaching on that, a teaching blog. That's absolutely not true. Jezebel was a woman. And she was married to Ahab, and she was a wicked woman, and she reaped what she sowed, let's just say that, if you read about her in the Old Testament. And there is no spirit of Jezebel, but there could be a spirit of a person like Jezebel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
These NAR people make a spirit out of everything. Spirit of lust, spirit of thievery, spirit of hatred, spirit of lying. No, that's not what the Bible says. So that's another point I wanted to cover. So good, we covered that. Anybody? Open forum time, open question time, open sharing time. Anybody got anything on their heart, their mind, any scripture they want to share, any questions, anything? Brother Purgos, how about you? We'll start with you.
I think we should make sure that more saints are freed, because that was the highlight of my day. And besides that, what is a good way of quickly telling someone they're not your brother? Is there any way to do that that sharply inflicts it on them? And makes them want to draw to the truth.
Give us the context. Help us with context, and then we can help you. What's the context of this situation?
Let's say you're witnessing someone in general, and they, like, green light the entire gospel you preach to them, and they, like, want to call you brother right away.
When you say green light, you mean agree with it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Figure speaks.
Yeah. Okay, ready? You want to role play?
Sure. I'll be the person. Oh, hello. You're preaching the gospel? Can I hear that quick?
Yeah. I love to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. He's the only way to eternal life. And he made the way.
Yeah. Trinity, shed blood, 3 days.
Well, hold on.
Nights.
Let me finish the gospel and see if you're really a seeker here. So by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, fully man, fully God, he calls us to himself via repentance. And a repentant heart is changing its mind and its ways to then seek after the kingdom of God. And God is so loving and gracious that when a person's willing to stand down from their flesh, the culture, all false religion, God sees a willing vessel. Acts 5 says, Hebrews 5:9 says he makes the way of those for those who obey. God will give you a new heart and a new mind. It's talked about in Jeremiah. It's talked about all over the New Testament. And when you truly are born from above, it's a beautiful thing. Happened to me. I was a worldly man. I repented and placed my faith in Christ. I'm born again. I walk in holiness and obedience. Doesn't mean I can't ever sin. Doesn't mean I don't ever make mistakes. But I don't live in any sin, willful sin. And I seek for sanctification, holiness, and righteousness according to the scriptures. And every day I know, every week, every month, every year, I have to endure in that to the end. That's really a quick dissertation on the biblical gospel. We could go in depths on all of those things if you'd like, but it's on that gospel card I gave you. And that's the gospel. It's not just believe. It's not just say a prayer. It's not, we teach water baptism, but water baptism doesn't really save you. It's just a symbol. You're not just showing up at church on Sunday. You must enter this covenant with God. It's a blood covenant. He did his part. You got to do your part. And then you also must rebel from the kingdom of Satan, which we're all born into, and follow Christ into the kingdom of God. That's the biblical gospel. What do you say about that, sir?
Yes, of course, brother. I go to temple on the Sabbath, and Yeah, I don't watch TV or that type of stuff, and I don't eat pork.
Well, wait,
and
hold on a second.
I'm really
hold on a second. Can I interrupt you?
And I know faith without works is dead. I know that. That's why I came knocking on your door today.
Yeah, okay, but hold on a second. I'm words matter. Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. Jesus said we'll be judged by every word out of our mouth, so we better be careful. Idle word. We better be careful. You just called me brother. Why did you call me your brother?
Because we agree on the gospel and we're supposed to have unity.
Oh,
well. I'm supposed to love my brother.
Okay.
Right?
Well, I'll tell you what. I want you to know something. I don't even know you. You're my neighbor. I do love you. And I would actually do anything I could to help you into the kingdom of God. You're my neighbor. I love you. But I have to follow scripture. Didn't we talk about obedience in the gospel, right?
Yeah, I okay. keep the Sabbath. I don't eat pork.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I know faith without works.
Yeah, well, you're talking about some things that are Torah law, but we could talk about that sometime. But let's get back to the brother thing. I don't want you to be offended, because I care about you. But the only people that I know are my brothers. You know how I know someone's my brother? Let me ask you a question. Can I know somebody's my brother by words coming out of their mouth, or is it by seeing the fruit of a man's life over time where he proves? The Bible says, prove all things. Which one should I go with, lest I be deceived? Just your words and call you my brother, or should I look for the fruit in your life over time to then call you my brother? What do you think?
Yes, prove all things and fruit, and you can definitely come with me on the Sabbath, and I can show you my teachers, and we can talk doctrine. And
well, I tell you
thank
what.
You very much.
I tell you what. That's, sometime my email's on that card. Contact me. We can set up a call. And we can do an email. I'm actually walking in the Sabbath right now. It's Jesus Christ. I'm resting in Him. But what I would say is, before you call someone brother, you really must be careful. Apostle Paul says, be careful not to lay hands on any man quickly, lest you become a partaker of his sin. Did you know there's many spirits that have gone out, and we have to test all spirits? Did you know Satan even believes the gospel? But it doesn't mean he lives it. So I would be careful who you call brother. I'm careful who I call brother. I would love for you to be my brother someday, but that's going to take study and proving. If you're willing to do that, I'm with you. So how's that sound, brother? Does that give you an idea of how you can be kind of loving, but still be bold? Don't take his brotherhood and explain to him what brotherhood really is. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. I wanted to see how you would do that. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Brother Zelos?
It literally depends on a case-by-case basis. I mean, if the guy walks up to you and he's like, let's say you're standing outside an event, like a party event, like Stampede, you were here or someplace like that. That's just really wicked, and nobody who would actually follow Jesus would ever go to an event like that, because Jesus just simply ain't there. They call people out, and they go like, oh yeah, brother, preach it, or something like that, where they say, I don't think you have to try and even reason with them. I'm just like, you're not my brother, not if you're going in there. You can just be blunt about it.
Yeah, it depends.
It's kind of on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. Yeah, because you'll get people walk up to you and they go, good job, brother. And they tap your shoulder and they walk by. And I always say this, ready? I say, are you my brother? And they go, yeah, I believe in Christ. And then I go, lips don't prove anything, sir. Let's come talk the gospel and let's see if we could ever become brothers. And then that's usually when they, obviously they don't, and then you know. So, yeah, you're right. It's all based on context. Just remember, Brother Cool, what did I tell you about being nice in the streets versus being biblical and firm and truthful and bold?
You got to tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to
yeah.
hear.
Yeah. So do you understand that? Like somebody says, you're my brother, that they want you to go, yeah, amen, that's good, brother. And that makes them feel good. Mm-hmm. But you can probably look at them. Like Brother Zello said, you could see what event they're at. You look at their shirt and they got the Packers on. They're smoking. Hey, brother. And you go, okay, if you were just born again yesterday, maybe you're on a path, but I don't know that. So I got to be careful. So you want to tell them what they need to hear, not just find. Don't be like a Mormon. The Mormons are always looking for common ground. That's how they weasel their cult ways into people. We want to make sure that we're telling people the truth, is what I was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
Did that help you, Brother Purgos?
Yes, definitely. Going back to fruit, laying hands, suddenly a nomad.
Amen. Yeah, and just remind him. And here's another thing you could say. Ready? I say this often. This would be more to like a mocker. So let's say a man comes up to me and says, ready, you want to role play, Brother Cool? Brother Cool, sure. And I are going to role play. Ready? Right. So Brother Cool, you take the role of you're the street preacher. No, you're the guy that comes up and says, brother. Okay. Right? So I'm witnessing, I'm preaching the gospel. You must repent and turn or you're going to lose your soul. And you walk by and you say,
hey, how's it going, brother? I agree with everything you're saying.
Yeah. And hey, you just called me brother. You're going into this event right here. What are you doing here? This is a worldly, wicked, carnal event. Why are you here? You're calling me a brother. You're calling me a brother. I'm standing against this. Why are you going in there?
I was going to talk to some people about Jesus.
Really? You got a gospel card or something you could show me?
No, I like to do one-on-one kind of conversations.
Can I explain something to you? My brothers would never go in there. My brothers live holy and separate from the culture. My brothers don't live, act, talk, dress, speak, spend their time like the culture. If you were really my brother, you would conform your life to the gospel and it would transform your entire life. I don't think that's happened to you. Isn't that true?
Well, I think we have to be like the world a little bit to win the people of the world.
No, there's not one Bible verse teaches that. Actually, the Bible says don't conform to the world, and it says be salt and light. If you go into their darkness mm-hmm. and you're not salt, how are you ever going to win people? How are they ever going to see a difference? So my brothers wouldn't do that.
How do you know
that? Just call me you said you're my brother. See, I met you for 5 minutes, not even 30 seconds, and I can't trust your words. You said you're my brother. My brother wouldn't do this.
How do you know that I'm not salt? Like, have you seen my fruit? Have you seen what I tell people when I'm one-on-one with them?
Well, actually, what I would ask you is, what's the gospel? So I would ask this guy what the gospel is. He 99% of the times would stumble all over himself and say, well, you believe in Jesus. And then I'd say, see, you don't even have the biblical gospel. And then here's where I'd go. I'd say, well, has your life been totally transformed completely? Have you come out of the world by your biblical gospel? And I would say, in love, you got earrings in and you got a Packer jersey on and you're smoking. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but you're living in sin and worldliness. That's not of my father. That's not my brother. I'd like to help you come out of that. Would you like to talk about the gospel? And then I try to go through the gospel with them. So I wouldn't go too far with somebody like that. I don't want to try to attack their sin before I preach the gospel to them. But if somebody's pushing, I'm your brother, yeah. I'm going to lower the hammer on them and say, you haven't even come out of the world. It's pretty clear. And then that usually they either get mad and walk away, or they'll say, well, what do you mean? And then you go, hasn't anybody taught you how to dress your temple, how not to come to worldly events? No one's taught. Hey, I've been a Baptist for 37 years, they'll say. And I go, they haven't taught you the gospel to eternal life? Well, I guess not. So, it's all based upon the context of the situation. And you lower the hammer harder on the people that are pushing back harder. This makes sense, doesn't it? If someone's a seeker, you're gentle, you entreat, you draw them in. If someone's a mocker or they're pushing back against sin, you pull out the Hebrews 4 sword and slice them up because that's what they need. They need to see their sin like Jesus with the rich man. Hey, how do I get to the kingdom of God? Hey, keep the law. I've done that. Oh, one thing you still lack. And the guy said, oh, he told him what he lacked. We have to show people what they lack if we really love them. Does that make sense, brothers?
Yeah.
Amen. Revelation would be exceedingly terrifying if you said, I have something against you. Blank space. Repent.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, that word rebuke, everybody, it sounds like such a bad word. Oh, rebuke. It means correction. It means correction. Hey, brother, or your neighbor is a heroin addict and you go to talk to them and say, you got to stop this. You're going to kill yourself. That's a rebuke. That's a correction. It's because you love them. Guess what? You're trying to turn them to redemption rather than going, you're fine no matter what. And you send them off to hell and destruction. Which one is loving your neighbor? You know, so don't ever be ashamed of that word rebuke. The culture in churchianity's turned it into a bad word, but it's not. It is a word we need to use on ourselves, on the body, and go forth into the world and show them the gospel and then tell them what they lack so they can get in line with it. Anything else? Any other, while we're on the role-playing gig, anybody else got an idea for a role-play that they need help with? A situation. I think it's Brother Zelos' turn to role-play.
Well, say I can be the guy who says, brother, I can toss another angle on it.
I'm sorry?
Okay, so you're the street preacher, and I walk up to you. Hey, brother, good preaching. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you. Hey, come here for a second. You called me brother. Why did you call me your brother? Yeah. How do you know we even agree on the gospel?
Well, hey, you're out here preaching Jesus, and you know, all of us that believe in Jesus, we're all just brothers and sisters of the same Father, right?
So oh, no. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, I just had to rebuke the Mormons at their booth down the street, and they're telling me that they believe in God and Jesus, and they clearly are a cult and not my brother. So you got to be careful. Are you born again, and are you using spirit and word for discernment, or are you just using your own thoughts?
Oh, yeah, of course I am, man. I've been born again for years now. And, you know, all of us who believe in Jesus and we're the children, you know, God's all our Father. You know, like, He's the Creator. We're all just brothers.
Oh, no, that's not true. My master said if people won't hear the Word of God, and that also means to obey it, actually, God is not your Father. Do you know who your Father is? And no offense, but you're here at a worldly event, and you look like a worldly man. I'm no better than you. I used to look a lot worse than you. As a worldly man. But did you know who my master said that if you don't hear the word of God and obey it, do you know who your father really is, sir?
Oh, I don't know.
It's Satan.
I know.
Satan is your father.
He's going to judge me. You can't judge me, man.
Oh, the Bible.
I'm not a brother. Jesus knows my heart, and He knows I love Him, and I got Him in my heart, and you know I repent, and I'm saved. And
yeah, hold on. Let me stop you right there. I don't judge the world, but you just came claiming Christ, and the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 5, Matthew 18, 2 Thessalonians 3, the Bible tells me to judge people that claim Christ and to judge rightly. And my judgment is to help you save your soul. I don't think you know the biblical gospel. Would you like to stand and listen while I preach the biblical gospel? And then here's what I would ask. Will you test yourself to it? And if you're lacking, will you repent and get it right for the glory of God? Or you realize you're going to lose your soul because you've got a false Jesus. And I want to help you with that.
Yeah, you know what, brother? You just keep on preaching. You, I got him. I know what I got. I know what I believe. You ain't gonna judge me. You preach the gospel to all those people who need it. All right.
Well, I guess I didn't come for you. You don't have ears to hear or eyes to see. I love you, but I have to tell you, you're deceived by Satan. He's your father. You need to repent and seek the truth of God. But I am gonna go preach because I didn't come for you. I'm looking for those that are seeking the truth of God. Check out my website sometime. If I can ever help you and you change your mind about having eyes to see and ears to hear, I'm there for you. Till then, I can't cast my seeds on cement and ground that's not fertile. I got to go and seek that which is fertile ground. I love you, neighbor. Repent or you're going to lose your soul.
Hey, man, that's not very loving. Why are you striking the fellow workers in your vineyard here, man? I mean, come on, brother. Don't be doing this.
I'm going to go and preach to other people. I've said enough here. I hope you repent.
Yeah, you just kind of got to walk away from them, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You got to turn away. They'll stand there all day and waste your time and chew your leg. As soon as they don't have ears to hear, eyes to see, as soon as they're not asking good questions, as soon as they're not going, you know, yeah, that's true about God's word. Ready? As soon as they show that they're not contrite about sin. Yeah, I'll give you an example. A guy comes walking up to a worldly football program, football game. And you go, hey, I'm here preaching the gospel. Yeah, brother. And you go, brother, what are you doing here? And he goes, what are you talking about? Nothing wrong with football, man. You're crazy. What are you, a cult or something? He walks by. Let him go. He is let the blind lead the blind. But what if the guy says this? What do you? And he puts his head down. He goes, yeah, I know this. This probably isn't really good, is it? And you go, no, this is sin and worldliness. He goes, yeah, I know. But my mother-in-law bought us tickets. I didn't even really want to come. I know there's a lot of rowdiness, and it's not of Christ, is it? And then you see that he's got some contriteness to him, and then you could send some more arrows into him of truth that might help him, and look for that fertile ground, not the mockers, not the people with no ears, but look for the person that you can almost see him going, yeah, ready, this one too. But, you know, hey, you're here at a worldly event. You look like a worldly person. They go, yeah, you know, you're right. I believe in Christ, but I am not living the way I should be. You're right about that, preacher. I could never do what you're doing. What you're doing is right. I could never do it. I don't know how you do that. Right there. There's your door open. That's a seeker. That's somebody, or at least somebody that has ears to hear. And then you can say, can I give you my testimony? And if they listen, then you tell them how Christ gave you boldness and the Spirit. But look for those. Look for that fertile ground. Be a farmer. No successful farmer plants seeds in cement. Right? Or he doesn't stick his seeds into weeds. He puts it in the fertile ground. He's looking for fertile ground. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So, anything else? Any other topics? We covered a lot of good stuff today. Any thoughts? Anything you're struggling with?
I think this could be a good topic. I thought about it for a little bit today. Just a good study topic. An experiential and emotional God versus the God of truth and righteousness.
Ah, yeah, that is a good one.
So a lot of times people think, well, God is in what I feel. God is in how I perceive, like, my own emotions, my own whatever. When in reality, God is truth.
Yeah.
God is righteousness.
Amen.
The only really, if you look at like the fruit of the Spirit, peace and joy really is the thing you will be feeling on the inside when you're in the truth, when you're in righteousness. You're not going to be feeling like happy, fun time.
Fleshly.
Like fleshly carnal. All the time. And I was just kind of thinking about like the contrast between experiential versus seeing the truth, understanding the truth, obeying the truth.
And living it. Doesn't that go along with my Sunday Jesus? They've invented a Sunday Jesus. Does it remind you of the Israelites? What did they do? They wanted to worship something. And while Moses was up on the hill, what'd they do?
They made golden image.
They fashioned their own God.
Yeah.
So they wanted to worship something. And isn't that what the churchianity people do? They want to worship something because God puts it in us to worship something. And they make a God that makes them feel good. Like you said, the music, I can live any dress, talk any way I want. So that would be a good topic to discuss. All the categories of the fleshly, emotional Sunday Jesus versus the true Savior.
Yeah.
And can you see the false Savior that they've created?
Oh, yeah.
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 You agree with that, brothers? They're walking around teaching a false Jesus?
Yeah, definitely. False Jesus, false gospel, and false spirit.
Yes, 2 Corinthians 11:4. Paul warned about that. What say you, Brother Purgos, about that? Have you experienced that?
99.99% of the time.
Yeah.
It seems like once you get past the name, who he is, and maybe repentance as the Ten Commandments, the divergence is exceedingly quick.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So that'll be a good topic for us to talk about. Maybe on our next call, we can kind of all bring some thoughts on that, because it will help you to know about those, to put your antenna up. So when you're witnessing to people, you catch it real quick. And it's pretty easy. They go to Sunday church, but then you can kind of figure out if they're talking about emotional Jesus or fleshly Jesus or the biblical Savior, as Brother Kuo said, who dwells in spirit and truth. That's why that scripture from John 4:24 is so important. We must worship him in spirit and truth. People have just cast that off. They worship him any way they want. They have a false Jesus. But we must be in spirit and truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's why Jesus was, I mean, his words cut. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's so, like, authoritative. I'm the truth. Yeah. You know, you're not following the right Jesus if you're not in the truth.
Yeah, like the truth is a person.
Yeah, exactly.
The Holy Spirit and our Savior. Yeah, this is important stuff here. Yeah. And the people go, oh, you're too focused on truth. I'm like, yeah, I'm focused on Christ. He is the truth.
Yeah.
It's pretty fundamental. Yeah. Little kids get it, but people that are led by their flesh, they don't want to see it because the truth, what does it do? John 3:19-21. The light has come, the truth, and men loves their sin and they go in the darkness. That's why, hey, isn't that why we're hated, brothers, by the world? We'll be hated because we stand for the truth and the light, and the world goes, turn that off already. Quit shining that on us, man. It's like we're a bright light shining in their sinful world.
True. Yep.
I'm looking up a scripture verse here. You guys keep going while I'm looking it up.
Brother Purgos, so how do we shine the light when we're witnessing? What do we do? What are we supposed to do?
We lift up Christ. We lift up what he did. And we tell them, we give them the warning. We tell them that time is short and they have to either follow or not. There's a scripture verse that I am thinking of now.
While you're looking that one up, I'll share mine. Going back to truth and people not focused on truth and what they're talking about. 1 John 4, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's so fundamental and so simple. Cut along those two lines. You start talking about the gospel and the truth of God and people don't hear you. They're not of the spirit of truth.
Nope.
Period.
Yep.
You start talking about, like, it's so, like, remember a couple of days ago I had this awesome day on the job witnessing with a bunch of people. And I forgot to share this with you guys. That same day, like, I think I handed out like a dozen gospel cards and I was just at work. Two guys at a separate time came up and both of them were talking about their job and they were just yapping my head off. I offered them a gospel card and they're like, no thanks, we're Catholic. And they literally turned around and ran away and didn't talk anymore.
The light chased them off.
Clear.
Yeah.
Like they would talk about, some people would yap your ears off talking about the things of the world, but you want to talk about God and they have no time or use for it. Period. Yeah. Done.
Yeah. It's like the Mennonites, the Anabaptists I always talk about. They'll talk your ear off about their business, their barns they make, their roofing, they're selling produce, bring up Jesus, and it's like you turn the light on, and they're like, they go. They shut you down. It's like you handed them a bag of manure. They don't want to talk about it no more. And that is, it's exactly who you know, who's drawn to the light and who actually hates it.
So, what was your verse, Brother Purgos?
Luke 2:34-35, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against thee, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, so when you're in the streets, look for that. That's going to save you a lot of time and effort on people that you're just... Remember, our master said, don't cast your pearls because they'll turn and rend you. So you can head off a lot of the confrontational, probably street witnessing, by not even witnessing to those people. Know which ones... Learn to discern which ones you should and shouldn't, and then just turn away. And so that's really key as a street minister to know how to do that, when to do it. And you learn that over time and refine it and sharpen it in the spirit. Good stuff, brothers. I like the role playing. We need to do more of that role playing. I think that's helpful. As you encounter situations with your witnessing, write them down for role playing ideas, okay?
Oh yeah, there's lots of them. You don't believe some of the stuff people say.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right, anybody got anything else? I'm going to end this audio for this section.
That's all I had.
All right.
Yep, I'm going to do it.
All right. Thanks, brothers. This will be up at the edification area to edify everybody in the truth of God.